I thought in these days, as believers, we all need encouragement. So that's going to be the focus and the theme tonight, encouragement. And there's one person in the Bible, in the New Testament particularly, who is, we might call, a son of encouragement, and that is Barnabas. Barnabas. Son of encouragement, consolation to others, a comfort, and also an exaltation, an encourager. And I think we need encouragement in the days in which we live. So if you will, you have your New Testament handy, find the Acts of the Apostles and chapter 4 to begin with. Then we move through other parts of Acts. So in Acts chapter 4, if you please find that, a couple of verses there, in Acts 4, 36 and 37, where we first meet Barnabas. And if you have the same version as I have, the New King James, you'll find in brackets, he is called the son of encouragement. Acts 4, 36 and 37. And Joseph, or Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite, so he was Jewish, of the country of Cyprus. Having land, so he's wealthy, he sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet, a generous man, a son of encouragement. So you can see here he's a Jewish Levite from the island of Cyprus. That's where we first meet him. Now would you go over to chapter 9? Chapter 9. I'm going to read a few verses there from 26 to 29. Acts 9, verse 26. And Saul had come to Jerusalem, or Paul. He tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. That's not surprising, is it? And did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. And he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them in Jerusalem, coming in and going out. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Hellenists, that's the Greek Jews, but they attempted to kill him. So they took him down to Caesarea. So here we have Barnabas, and we find that he was the one who stood by Saul or Paul and explained his conversion as being genuine, and he's not out to trap the disciples and the early church. So Barnabas here was a man who was sensitive to others' needs, who was aware of what's going on, and was a man of certainly upright character. So we're looking at the character and the person of Barnabas this evening. And he was saying that no, Paul, should we call him Paul now, his conversion was indeed genuine. And he was therefore, Paul, trusted, to be trusted by the others. So these early disciples, the early church, they believed him. They believed Barnabas. He was a man of integrity and he could be trusted to speak well. And of course, as he did this, Barnabas showed quite a lot of courage because they could have rejected Paul or Saul, Paul, and therefore brought Barnabas into some disrepute. But no, it wasn't that way. So he was a man of great encouragement. Now go on to chapter 11 of Acts, please. Into chapter 11 a bit more. Chapter 11 and verse 19. Well, we start at 21, I think. Chapter 11, and look at verse 21 to 26. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas, he was a man they could rely on, to go as far as Antioch. When he came, had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them. There it is, Barnabas the encourager. He encouraged them all that with purpose of heart that they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man. Here's his character. Full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Well, you can't do better than that. A good man, a righteous man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. When he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So here is Barnabas, well, perhaps taking a risk in a way, but he was genuine, he was good, he's upright. It's a description of Barnabas in verse 24, a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And the Lord used him and others, and Paul, of course, and many were saved at this particular time. So that's encouraging, isn't it? And if you go a bit further on down towards the end of the chapter, in chapter 11, go down to verse 29. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. And who did they pick? This they also did, verse 30, and sent it to the elders in Jerusalem church by the hands of Barnabas and Saul, or Paul. So we find these two men, Paul and Barnabas, joined together in serving the Lord. And we find that the church in Jerusalem sent these two men, Barnabas and Paul, well, Paul was meeting him there, and was there to strengthen and encourage new believers. Now, there's a commendable character, a good man, righteous before the Lord, and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And God could use this man, Barnabas, son of encouragement. Bear that in mind. He was to encourage many other people. He taught and built this new set of believers up there in the Lord. And that's very encouraging. He built them up in the Lord. And notice, as I say, this man's spiritual qualities, as I said in verse 24, good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and the Lord used this man, many were saved as well. So that's very encouraging. And of course, Barnabas went to get Paul, Saul then, Paul now, and the gifts were sent off to Judea to the poor church. It was a time of famine at that time in Jerusalem, and so they could send goods down via Paul and Barnabas to the church in Jerusalem in great need at that time. So they were reliable men. They could be trusted to do what was needed. Now, would you go over into chapter 12, chapter 12 of Acts, and look from verse 25 onwards into chapter 13, building up Barnabas's character. That's what we want to do. Acts 12, 25, moving into chapter 13 as well. Last verse of chapter 12, and Barnabas and Saul, or Paul, returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, joined together, you see. And they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit, no doubt through a prophet or teacher, said, now separate for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So these two were joined together for ministry in the Lord's name and to encourage believers and to preach the gospel, of course. So that's important. Now, I'd like to move on further into other parts of the New Testament, if you would. And would you go on to 1 Corinthians chapter 16? 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And in 1 Corinthians 16, look from verse 13 onwards. Now, Barnabas and Paul were men of faith and courage, determination to serve the Lord, worked together, and Barnabas, one who encouraged Paul, because they were, to begin with, they were very suspicious. Was he genuine? 1 Corinthians 16, read from 13 to 18. This is an encouragement to us, as it was to Paul and Barnabas. Watch. Stand fast in the Lord. Be brave. And they needed to be, so do we. And be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia. They have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. In other words, caring for other Christians. That you also submit to such, and to everyone who works and labors with us. So they were to support those who were working for the Lord, and Paul and Barnabas were doing just that. I'm glad about the coming of Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Caius. What was lacking on your part, they supplied. For they refreshed my spirit, and Paul's writing, they refreshed me. How we need to refresh and encourage other Christians to be a comfort, be an encouragement to other believers, as these were, these particular homes of believers. So that was very important, wasn't it? In 1 Corinthians 16. Just a couple of more. 2 Corinthians now. 2 Corinthians, and go to chapter 7, please. 2 Corinthians, chapter 7. Now, we know the name Barnabas means son of encouragement, one who gives consolation to other Christians, one who gives comfort to those in need or in distress, and one of exhortation to encourage. 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, and verse 13. 2 Corinthians, sorry, chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 13. Therefore, we have been comforted in your comfort. So these believers in Corinth, they needed it, were encouraged by the comfort given to them by these Christian leaders. And we rejoiced exceedingly more for the joy of Titus, because his spirit had been refreshed by you all. That's when Titus came as well to visit there. So we need to encourage, refresh other Christians ourselves, and help and support, and be a sons and daughters of encouragement. That's certainly very true, isn't it? Now, would you go on to Paul's letter to the Colossians, please? Colossians. And we want Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, beginning of verse 8. And this is where you see the man in verse 7 is Tychicus. And you can see the description of him in verse 7 of Tychicus. A beloved brother, faithful minister, a servant of the Lord, a fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me, says Paul. So he's relying on Tychicus, who is a good man in the Lord. Verse 8, I am sending him to you for this very purpose. What was that for? Well, to encourage, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. Dear friends, that's what we need to do for each other. This is a practical thing about being Christians. Many people in need, they're in the distress. Some are in fear from what's happening around us today. And we need to encourage and stimulate them in the Lord to encourage their faith and stand with them as well. As Tychicus did, you see, Paul says, I'm sending him to you for this very purpose. Encourage them, you see, he's a faithful man, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts, to give encouragement to your hearts. Just like Barnabas, you see. Now move on a bit later in the same letter, if you will, down to 12, verse 12. 12 and 13. Epaphras, who's another man. Tychicus is one. Aristarchus in verse 10, Mark in verse 10, and down to verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, Colossae, where he lived, a servant of Christ. He greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. There is a man who worked in prayer, disciplined himself in prayer, seeking the Lord for the welfare of others. So should we. that you may stand. What's the whole point of this? Perfect or mature. Not absolutely perfect in this life, but mature, yes. Mature and complete in all the will of God. Well, that's why Christians are to be like that to one another. Fervent in prayer for others, they may stand mature and complete in all the will of God. Not going astray from the will of God, but in the will of God. So that's encouraging, isn't it? That's what we need to look at. So here it is. That's what we looked at there. And we must encourage others in the way that Barnabas encouraged the Apostle Paul and other Christians as well. And there was the support of Barnabas for the Apostle Paul and encouraged him. And they continued to work together on the first mission together. Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas, and so on. And if you look, going back now to Acts, where we were, please. Going back to Acts. In chapter 14 of Acts, chapter 14 of Acts, and looking down to verse 22 of Acts chapter 14, verse 22. This was their ministry, and this is what we need to do for each other today. Strengthening the souls of the disciples. That's what Paul and Barnabas were doing and others. You can see in verse 20 that Paul departed with Barnabas to Derbe. So, and there they were, 22, going on to Lystra, Iconium, Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them, encouraging them to continue in the faith. And saying we must, through many tribulations, small t, many troubles through life, enter the kingdom of God. And they appointed elders in the church there. So there to strengthen these dear Christians in many different places. That's quite true. Look in verse 23, you've got there. They appointed elders in every church where they went. They prayed, and with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So there's the encouragement as Barnabas was to Paul and to other Christians as well. Comforting them, encouraging them. In any distress, they lived in the Roman Empire, and that was rather hostile to these believers. Go down to verse 27, Acts 14, verse 27. When they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them, and they had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So they stayed there a long time with the disciples, verse 28. So they were welcome there for their ministry. They were given hospitality, very much at home. And yet, you see, as we got back in earlier verses, that they knew the dangers of living in the Roman Empire. They worshipped the Lord, not a so-called Caesar being God, not at all. So that's something we need to encourage one another in, to go on with the Lord, encouraging one another in the Lord, especially in our days today, which has its difficulties, as you know. And they were bold in doing this as well. So they strengthened, they encouraged, they taught, they comforted, they prayed and fasted there as well. They had a great care for the church, for believers, true believers. They were there. Now, one or two other places I'd like to go to, please. We'll come back to Acts in just a moment. Let's go on to the letters. Go on to the letters of the New Testament. First of all, would you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Let's find it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Look in verse 2. What did Paul do? He sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, a fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to encourage you concerning your faith. Here is Timothy, a fellow laborer trusted by Paul, very much so. He was a son in the faith from Paul. Faithful in the gospel, hard worker, to establish to encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by afflictions. Well, that's something which is very helpful there, wasn't it? Very much so. That's in 1 Thessalonians as well. And look in verse 16 verse 6. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have a good remembrance of us as fellowship at a distance, greatly desiring to see us as we also to see you. They long for fellowship together, though they are many miles apart. That's the love between Christians who just simply want to be with other Christians. That's encouragement and a challenge to each one of us as well. That's certainly very true. That's in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 3. Go down to verse 12. Same chapter, 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 12. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father, the coming of our Lord Jesus, the Lord has sent. Look into the second coming of the Lord. And he said, now may the Lord make you increase and abound in love one to another. And the Lord gives that gift of love one to another very warmly. And to abound in that love and to increase in that love. Well, that's a challenge, isn't it? To love one another. The Lord loves us so much. Encouraging that is, isn't it? Yeah. Well, let's just press on a bit more. We leave 1 Thessalonians and we go back to the Acts of the Apostles. Go back to Acts and chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. Look in verses 2 to 4. Here's Paul and Barnabas working together again. Acts 15, verse 2. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, that's those who are, if you look in verse 1, those who said, you need to be circumcised, you need to obey the law as well as grace. No, you can't. Can't do both. They're the opposites. So Paul then corrected them, and he had a strong difference of opinion with those who taught that circumcision is important, the law is important. Paul said, no, you live in grace, not law. He had no small dissension and dispute with them. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this very question. So that's a problem that this early church had. Did they stay under the law as well as grace? No. And they would teach that very, very carefully. So Paul and Barnabas were both able to correct false teaching. You need to be under the law as well as grace. No, that's false teaching. So there they were, reliable, trustworthy servants of the Lord, teaching the truth and counteracting that which is false. And we need to do that today. Speak the truth, counteract that which is false today, if we meet it. There is quite a lot of that around anyway. That's certainly true. Go down to verse 12 of Acts 15. We're staying in Acts. Acts 15 and verse 12. They were preaching, of course, and they've been in the Jerusalem council, and they come back. All the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul, declaring how many miracles and wonders of God himself, God worked, not them. God had worked through them among the Gentiles. They gave a report back to the church council in Jerusalem of what God had been doing through Paul and Barnabas, but God had been working those miracles. And they kept quiet while they listened to what Paul and Barnabas said. There they are working together, Paul and Barnabas. The son of encouragement, encouraging Paul in his work. How we need to encourage one another in our fellowship, encourage one another in our serving the Lord together. Very important that is. And they continued to teach the whole counsel of God. And if you look in verse 12, you can see they were showing God's power of miracles and wonders at the beginning of the church. that needed to grow numerically, grow stronger. Certainly we'd like to see more of that today for ourselves. But the power of God was demonstrated at that time. That's wonderful, isn't it? It wasn't by Paul and Barnabas, it was by God himself, very clearly. Go down to verse 25. Go down to verse 25 of chapter 15. And this is what the Jerusalem Council made a decision to do, trusting Paul and Barnabas. Verse 25. It seemed good to us, as the council in Jerusalem, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Men who have risked their lives, hazarded their lives, for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. They were willing to risk their lives. Well, we know many have lost their lives through church history because of their faithfulness to the Lord. We know that. And that's very serious. They risked their lives. They hazarded their lives. They accepted the dangers that confronted them in witnessing for the Lord and travel together. That's certainly true, isn't it? That's in Acts chapter 15. In the same chapter, you've got verse 25. Go to 26 as well. They hazarded their lives, certainly endangered their life in order to serve the Lord. Go down to verse 35, while we're in the chapter. 35. Paul and Barnabas, there they are again. Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others. There they are, in the responsibility the Lord laid on their hearts to be faithful in the ministry of the word to the churches and preaching the gospel as well. We know that. That's very true. Well, they knew the scriptures, or otherwise they couldn't teach it. And the challenge is for you and me, how well do you and I know the word of God? Can God use us? Good question. Can you be the one to help and to teach others, to encourage others? We can all do that. Guide others, counsel others, other Christians I'm particularly talking about, or indeed others too. So that's important, isn't it? Now, in the same chapter, would you go on down to verse 36? There's a little bit of difference here. Chapter 15, verse 36. Here's a little sharp division coming along. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." Now Barnabas was determined to take with him John called Mark. But Paul insisted they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia. He left the group back there and had not gone with them to the work. They thought he'd just run off and gone cold. So the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. That's rather sad. Here, Paul and Barnabas had a separation of thinking. And I think Paul was a very strong character. He would have been strong in the law of God on Gamaliel in the Jewish teaching. And I think that a strong critical character that must have stayed in Paul for quite a long time until he was mellowed and he had the thorn in the flesh from the Lord in his wisdom. So there was this division. So Paul said, no, I don't want to take him. Verse 39, then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas, departed, commended by the brethren to the grace of God. So there's division, which is rather sad. Wouldn't say I like to blame one more than the other. It's not for me to say anyway. But I rather think that Paul had a rather firm, strong, determined character and wanted his own way. Well, the Lord mellowed him later, as we know. We're only in Acts 15, after all. So, but at least the power of God was working. And Paul and Barnabas did work together for a long time. They endangered their lives together. But the problem was here, a sharp disagreement. Was it Paul's fault? Well, how do we know? Maybe it was, strong-minded, rather argumentative, as he was under the law. Maybe he lacked grace here, I don't know. Maybe he lacked patience, I don't know. He was certainly strong-minded. And for once, he did not listen to Barnabas. Now, Barnabas, the son of encouragement, always supported Paul, always backed him up, always willing to work with him, united together in harmony together. But Paul now did not listen to Barnabas. You know, it's good for us to listen to one another and to have fellowship in discussing things together and coming through to a right conclusion before the Lord and his will. But here there were difficulties, weren't there? I wonder if you look in other parts of the scriptures now. Maybe Paul lacked grace and patience. I don't know. I'm trying to read between the lines. I don't know. But would you go on to Colossians chapter 3? Colossians chapter 3. And verse 12. Now at last, Paul is given the instruction how it ought to be lived, and he learned his lesson, I think. So here he is saying, now look, now learn what I needed to learn myself, he's saying. Colossians 3 and verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. Oh, Paul is learning it as well. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness. Now, meekness is not weakness. It's a quiet spirit. Long-suffering, bearing with one another. Oh, yes, Paul, you learned that. Bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you do to them also. But above all these things, put on love, which is a bond of perfection or maturity. So that's very important there. And Paul is saying, I reckon I learned this the hard way as well. So that's I think something we can gain benefit from ourselves, don't you? Colossians 3:12. Now look at verse 17. Colossians 3:17, a bit further down. Chapter 3:17. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Can we do and speak everything in the Lord's name? I hope so. Challenging. Giving thanks to God the Father through him. We thank the Father through the Lord Jesus. Whatever we do, in word or in action, deed, do it as it were in the name of the Lord Jesus, as if he were here doing it himself, as if he were here doing this himself. Well, that's a tall request, isn't it? Well, that's important. That's important, that is. So there we are in Colossians chapter 3, 2 and 17. So going back to the action, or thoughts about the action, there was Barnabas and John Mark going off to Cyprus, one mission group. There is Paul taking Silas off on another mission. So we've got two mission groups now. Whether all was in that division and sharp dispute, I don't think. But at least out of that came two missions to serve in two different places from the Lord. That's certainly true. Well, Barnabas wanted to encourage Paul to stay with it there, but he wouldn't do it. So they both had two groups going out to preach the gospel in two different places, and I suppose that's something to encourage one another. So just to finish off with this evening, two places. Would you go to Paul's writing to Timothy? Timothy, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Chapter 2, and verse 24. Now, there'd been a strong division between Paul and Barnabas over John Mark, two different missions. Look in verse 24. Paul had learned something else too. 2 Timothy 2, verse 24. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, and patient. And Paul learned it the hard way. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, and patient. Wow. Paul, you learned that the hard way. But he did. That's how he could say this to other people. Yeah. 2 Timothy and chapter 2. That's very important, isn't it? Now go over to chapter 4, verse 11. Chapter 4, verse 11. So here you see, in the different missions, and like Paul is saying here, in 2 Timothy 4, verse 11, and here is Paul, and he's in prison. And verse 10, he says, Demas has forsaken me. Verse 11, only Luke is with me, faithful Dr. Luke. Get Mark. Get Mark. Always well between Paul and Mark. Things must have been put right. Go and bring him. Go and get John Mark. He pointed him out. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he's useful to me for ministry. Well, there's a change. Paul once again had learned the hard way. How we need, rather than see division between Christians, to see growing unity between Christians and togetherness and working together in Christian love and serving the Lord together, not division, not strife, not quarrels. And Paul learned the hard way there, didn't he? So that's important, all that is. In other words, coming back to, as I close, coming back to Barnabas. His name, Son of Encouragement. A man of consolation to those in need, a man who comforted others and understood them, a man of exaltation and encouragement to press on in the Lord. That was his ministry. That was this dear man, Barnabas. So you and I are encouraged to press on with the Lord and to encourage one another in the Lord. As fellow Christians, lift one another up in our prayer times, encourage one another in fellowship, and no doubt we live in difficult days, it's true. Would you now just go to one more place? That's the next letter, Titus. Titus, please. And chapter 3, the last chapter. Chapter 3 and verse 2. And this is an answer to strife and division. To speak evil of no one, Titus 3 verse 2, speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. Paul learned the hard way, but he did, and he wanted to express this to other people. He had become a calm, not a legal-minded, hard man, but rather the other way, warm, calm, able to comfort and minister to others, a gracious man. Paul learned that. And just two more places. First Timothy, go back a couple of pages. First Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. This is what Paul wrote to Timothy, young man. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Let no one despise your youth, young man, but be an example. Young man is an example to others, especially older Christians. An example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Well, that's just about everything covering the Christian life, as the Lord would love it. Let's look at that again. Be an example to believers in your word, what you speak, in your conduct, the way you live, in love for others, in the right spirit, in faith, and in purity. That's how we should be living. Well, yes, that's encouraging though, isn't it? That's right. And just to share that with you, 2 Timothy, we looked at that, did we? 2 Timothy 4:11, I think. Yes, we looked at that. So that's encouraging. Encourage one another. Encourage one another. Lift one another up. Be patient with each other. Love one another. Encourage one another. Pray for one another. Stand by each other. And as the New Testament says, encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. What day is that? Well, the day when the Lord comes to the church. And after that, the day of the Lord, which is judgment, which we shall not see. But as you see the day approaching, the coming of the Lord. And if that isn't true for today, I don't know what is. The coming of the Lord draws near. How near? We don't know. Maybe very soon. We don't know. Maybe so. But all the more so, encourage one another as you see the day approaching. Getting ready. We're all going to be with the Lord. Love one another. Collectively, as you meet one another in Christian love, supporting and be a Barnabas to other Christians. Encourage one another in the Lord. All the more so, because you know the Lord is coming soon. Encourage one another. Be a Barnabas to other Christians. Lift them up before the Lord and be a blessing to them as much as you can. Amen.
Can't hear you, Robert.
Okay, same thing. Okay, well, thank you for that, Sharon. It was a bit longer today.
Is that